Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people. I'm so excited to have a chat with you today. Today, I have a special guest joining us. My dear friend, Nicole Tormey, is in the studio with us. Her and her partner, Callan, are visiting. And I was like, listen, I really need you on the podcast. I want to chat all things purpose, potential, human performance with you. And I have just really loved getting to know Nicole over the last couple of years and getting to see the way that she leads her life and the space that she creates, the boundaries that she has. I have admired, and I've also been like, teach me your ways. And also, you know, as a high performer, it's easy to neglect that side of yourself and just be focused on work. And, you know, even just our friendship over the last couple of years of having some of these conversations of like, okay, this is true. And what also matters to you, because work's always going to be there. Are you enjoying the ride that you're on? So thank you for joining us.
I'm excited to be here.
So let's just get into it. How did you start to get into like health and wellness and human performance and that sort of thing?
I mean, we grew up in athletics, so we were always doing sports. Both my parents were also in fitness. So we just grew up around it. But it was funny, when I was younger, everyone used to ask, are you also going to be a trainer like your parents? And I was like, no, I'm going to do something else. But it's funny how the tables turn. After I took a corporate job in New York, I worked in corporate for a couple of years. And then I realized that it wasn't the right fit. At the time, I didn't realize that what my parents were doing was also creating so much freedom outside of their job. So they were able to schedule their clients so they could also be incredible parents too. So it was... That was probably my introduction to it, where I realized I really love all things fitness and athletes, sports. And then over time, that started to get more into like the mindset behind it. I realized I was not really following the teams, but I was always interested in what is the athlete doing behind the scenes? Like, what are they waking up doing? Who are the people that they're spending time with? What are they eating? How are they hydrating? How are they resting? What do they like to read? I don't know. There's so much behind the scenes that I really like to explore.
And that's what you're doing now. Like, you're helping entrepreneurs, which I view as some form of athlete, really just get clear on themselves and what they're building, and like, are they nurturing and taking care of themselves? And so you've really helped the Uncommon Business, which is Callan's business, really build this human performance sector where you're pouring into the team, which I think is so cool. So can you chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really neat, because Callan and her leadership team, when they talk about the business, they're like, we are elite athletes. The way we approach our work, how we rest, how we show up for each other, and how we take care of ourselves and also the business, like they basically say, like, we are elite athletes when we come in and do this. So Callan, I think over the time that we were living together initially, she saw me working with a few of my clients privately, and then she would ask me questions, and I was kind of just coaching her a little bit in some of the work that I was already doing. And then she was actually the one that was like, will you come in and teach my leadership team what you're doing one-to-one with your clients? Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done it in that context before, of just actually working with a full team, bringing everyone together, having community calls. But I was like, you know what, let's give it a try. So I've been running their human performance program for a little over a year now, maybe a little bit more. And it has been so much fun. It was actually funny, because at one point, one of the things that came up on one of our calls was the amount of calls that they were having during the week. So a little bit of backstory to this. One thing that's really important, you know, with them also being like elite athletes, is they want metrics. They don't want you to just, I mean, Kenzie is like, okay, but what are the numbers? Like, how can we measure that people are actually benefiting from the human performance program and that they're actually feeling better and they're implementing the tools and things like that, which I totally appreciate. I'm like, okay, you can't just say, are you feeling better?
Good?
You
know,
are you feeling good?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, let's explore what this looks like metrics wise for your team specifically. So they have an end of week assessment that they have to do. And they do that every Friday, right when the week wraps, so everything is fresh in their body. And there's questions about their nervous system. What's the percentage that they feel they spent in their parasympathetic nervous system versus their sympathetic nervous system? You know, what's one thing that they did that week that they felt brought them closer to their highest self? What's one thing that happened that week that actually took them further away from their highest self? So just giving them an opportunity to reflect on the week itself, because what happens is we go through the weekend happens, we have a bit of a reset, and as humans, we're really good at forgetting, you know, certain things. So then Monday rolls around again, and then we just do that same week all over again, even if it's not totally sustainable moving forward. And so that's the main thing that we work on, is all of these little things are to help us avoid burnout, but also just become more aware of those, you know, the things that come up that basically cue to us that we're heading towards burnout. So the end of week assessment is really cool. I love hearing the feedback from everyone. That only privately comes to me. Nobody else has access to that. So it also gives space for people to be vulnerable, which is really nice as well. And it's been neat to see how that in and of itself has really helped everyone, you know, look at their week and then see what things we can kind of change moving forward. And the last thing I'll say about the assessment form that we love is after I review it over the weekend, it also helps inform me for Monday morning. So we have this call every Monday morning. It really sets the tone for the rest of the week. It's 45 minutes. The whole team is there. And then we usually cover an important topic. And that's usually informed by the assessment as well. Like, okay, what are we struggling with? What's coming up for a majority of the team? Was it feeling a bit like burnout across the board for everyone? And then what's behind that? And we're able to explore that together, which is so much fun.
And we were chatting the other day in when they were looking at recalibrating their calendar, and they're like, okay, but we have to keep these calls on the calendar.
Thank you. That was actually why I went down that rabbit hole. Was exactly that point.
Because I think it's important, even like me thinking of my teams, like we're always trying to optimize the calendar. It's like, what can we remove? What do we need to add? Like, what's going to get us to our goals and our metrics? And we forget, I think sometimes, that our teams love the other stuff that comes with working in a fast-growing company. Not only the excitement that comes with the growth, but like the way that you pour into a team. And so it would be easy to be like, oh, that one's not important, let's get it off. But the fact that every team member was like, no, I really enjoy these, and these give me so much clarity to like set my week up for success.
That was exactly the feedback. I mean, we realized there were a lot of calls in the week, and we were looking to condense, and it was brought up like, hey, do we just maybe make human performance every other week? And the team was like, nope, that is the one call we are not actually going to get rid of, because it's, you know, it's helping us set up for the rest of the week.
For somebody that's listening to this and is inspired by what you've created, what are some of the things that you're sharing with them?
Well, one thing I want to touch on really quickly is that I think when most people think of human performance or human optimization, especially in the culture that we're in now, it usually means that I think what we believe is that we're adding in more things to our schedule. So I want to bust that right now. Like, each call is not adding more things to their schedules, teaching them, you know, new things that they have to implement in their schedule, because, you know, across the board, I don't think any of us have time to add too much more. And so I actually think the important part is to actually do an energy audit of where our energy is going currently, and then actually strip it back. So a lot of the time I'm actually encouraging them to do less. You know, don't force yourself to sit and meditate or do X, Y, and Z because you think you should or you have to. Let's actually strip it back. Let's get our nervous system into a place where you can then actually decide what you need, what you want, what feels good to you, and then we can start bringing, you know, things into the schedule as well. So I just want to touch on that because, you know, I see it so often that it actually feels overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Red light therapy and you know,
cold plunging. That's what I was going to say, biohacking, doing everything.
Make sure you're doing all these things. And then something that actually came up on one of our calls was people feeling behind in their optimization. I'm like, that is exactly what we're trying to avoid. The thing that's supposed to, you know, recalibrate us, help us feel more rested, help us feel more creative and open-minded is not the thing that's also supposed to cause us stress if we miss it, or if we, you know, don't do it at 5 a.m. every single day of the week. So, but to answer your question, some of the things that we cover are, there's a lot of mindset pieces. So we do talk about energy. I mean, we're doing regular energy audits throughout the week. We talk about, so they just had a massive launch. And it felt really important going into this launch to remind everyone the why. Like, why are we doing this? Because oftentimes we get into these seasons that are really busy and everything else that's important to us kind of gets tucked to the side. I mean, even if it's rest or making sure you shut your laptop by a time that feels good so you can actually relax into the evening and get proper sleep, or, you know, carving out some time with your partner or your kids or going for a walk in nature. And so, you know, leading into the launch, it feels important to remind everyone why we're doing this. Because mm-hmm. It's exciting. They're building. I believe in it. It's incredible to see all the people that they're helping, but we're not going to compromise the well-being of our team in order to reach
more
X
people,
goals, yeah. more people, mm-hmm. more money.
Yeah. And I think we can kind of pivot here a little bit, because mm-hmm. that was just such a breath of fresh air that you brought into, you know, my life when you came to. It was just a reminder, because I talk all the time about, like, I want to build a legacy without sacrificing the people I'm building it for, which happened to be Kyle and Jet in this season and myself, right? Like, and there's been periods of business, especially over the last 2 years, that have been like a massive sprint, feeling like I can't come up for air. And I am the first person that I start to neglect my needs, my wants, my desires, my rest, especially. And, you know, when we started having some of these deeper conversations about, like, well, what would it look like? And, like, when is enough enough? And I know when you have these conversations in a really highly ambitious group of women, it can be a little nuanced. The conversation is nuanced, where it's like, yes, let's talk about all of this. And so what is kind of your philosophy? Because one of the things I love about you too is, like, we were just talking last night with Kyle. It's like, you're like, I am never bored. And I don't feel I don't have to go and work on something to make myself feel better about myself. And so I just think that that's honestly like a foreign concept to some people.
Yeah. I love this question so much. It's probably one of my favorite things to go deep with people. I'm not really a surface level conversation type of person.
Yeah, which is why we were friends right away.
So if you're going to choose to sit next to me at a coffee shop, we're going there. Like, yeah. We're doing it. Wow. I mean, what a great question. I love exploring this idea of what is enough, because I feel like what's at the core of that is, do you feel like you are enough? Mm-hmm. Do you love who you are? Do you love the version of yourself that you are right now and that you're creating for yourself in the future? And I don't really feel like I ever get bored, because I love spending time with myself. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I love being open to what, you know, the universe has in store for me, even if I have no plans for the entire day. Like, I love just being able to go to a coffee shop and see who I connect with, or just enjoying being out in nature or on my own or reading a new book, whatever it feels like. And I feel like this comes from, I've always had a deep sense of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I once heard, and this really stuck with me, I love the idea that judgment and curiosity cannot live in the same space. Mm. And I love that, because it really just helped me reframe the way I look at everything. Even if something feels different to what I grew up with or felt like was normal or, you know, felt comfortable with, if you just switch that lens from, you know, judgment to, okay, I'm gonna get curious about this. I mean, even in partnership, or, mm-hmm. you know, if your partner's doing something in a certain way, instead of, oh gosh, that's not the way I would necessarily do it, get curious. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing it this way? Mm-hmm. Why is the communication this way? And from a place that is also very ego-less and curious and kind. So I've always been a curious person. I've traveled a lot alone. Mm-hmm. If I could just share with anyone and everyone, whatever age you are, travel places alone. Explore new places, because each place will give you a new version of yourself. It mm-hmm. will bring something out of you that your current lifestyle, your current habits don't necessarily do, because, mm-hmm. I mean, our habits become like 80% of our day, mm-hmm. which, you know, when that's why travel is so fascinating, because it's an opportunity to be so present. Mm-hmm. You are so present with everything, because everything is new. You can't not pay attention to the directions, because you will be lost,
yep.
which sometimes is really fun. but no, I love traveling. I love being on my own. And I think my own level of curiosity and being open-minded to so many different perspectives and, you know, losing my grandfather when I was young and really he was my best friend growing up. So experiencing that at a young age and just seeing him transition, I'm like, wow, okay, this isn't forever. How can I really make the most of the moments
that
when I'm
have.
Here?
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, I talk about this all the time, this aspect of self-worth, and often our desire to constantly be busy or constantly perform comes from this feeling of lack and comes from this identity that you are not worthy if you are not performing. And I've struggled with that myself, you know. And then also you get people like me and Callan who just happen to love and be obsessed with work, and but then it can turn into an addiction too, where it's like you just feel like you constantly have to be working on something because you love it so much, and you get those dopamine hits just like anything else, right? And it's been interesting to observe that dynamic coexist in another partnership outside of my own. And that's, you've been like so helpful and such a godsend, because I'm like, Nicole, you and Kyle are so similar. Tell me what is going on in his brain. Like, please tell me. And you're like, okay, so he might be feeling like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought of that. And also he wouldn't have articulated it so perfectly the way that you did, because again, he's a dude and they don't always talk about their feelings like that. And it's just been so helpful, I feel like, to have your perspective in the conversation as we build these companies that are helping a lot of people, that we're having a ton of fun with, these lives that we're obsessed with, and this like go-go energy mentality, to be like, okay, let's come back to center and let's come back to yourself and make sure that you're still building for the right reasons in the right direction that's congruent with the life that you want to build.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that also comes from knowing what you want and mm-hmm. who you are. So oftentimes when I feel like I had a lot of conversations with amazing humans who have, you know, reached a certain level of success and wealth, and when you start to peel back the layers, there's a lot of like a feeling of...
Yeah, like
of,
trauma behaviors.
Yeah, trauma behaviors yeah. of almost like feeling of, Well, now what? Because I'm not feeling that feeling that I thought that I would have when I arrived. Mm-hmm. And again, this is why I bring back to the Human Performance Program, and even just my friends and you and Callan, it's like, okay, let's go back to our why. Like, why are we really doing this? And also, what is enough? And are we proud of the version of ourselves right now, and how we're showing up in our work and the people that we work with? Because when we lose sight of that, and we kind of get on this, you know, this trajectory and things are kind of all going a certain way, and then we land somewhere and we're like, oh, is this what I wanted? So it's important to keep like finding out who you are through, whether it's, I mean, asking yourself the deeper questions and sitting in that, kind of turning towards areas of tension or conflict, even with partnership or whatever it might be.
That's what I was going to ask you. If mm-hmm. somebody was listening to this, because yeah. I've been talking about this too, especially as yeah. my vision for my life. I've accomplished a lot of things that I set out to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of feel like I have a little bit of an opportunity to like revisit the vision. And so I've been chatting about this a lot with my clients and just figuring out like what's next. What are some of the best practices or questions mm-hmm. that you think if somebody's kind of lost inside of their vision right now, or like, hey, I think it's a good time to revisit this. What would you say that you've maybe asked yourself in moments of trying to figure it out?
Permission. I think the first place to start is just giving yourself and anyone who's listening just permission to be okay with not knowing right now. Mm-hmm. I will say the one thing that I've learned over working with all different ages is the thing I started to notice is someone in their 20s was also experiencing the same thing as like the mom in her 50s. Mm-hmm. It's just this re-identification, like who am I? What do I want? Who are my friends? What does my partnership look like now? Because it doesn't look the same as it did when we were in our 30s or our 20s. And so I think just permission to be okay with the fact that we are always changing. I actually think it's a bit more of a problem if we aren't changing.
Totally.
You know, if our friend group isn't
yes.
changing a little bit. I mean, I definitely have like my core friends that I just feel like are my lifers, ride or die for sure. But you know, that kind of outer circle has like changed and shifted over time, but that's also okay because I've also changed and shifted over time. So I think even just starting with permission, no one has to have anything figured out. Also, if someone tells you they have it all figured out, maybe right now in this moment they do, but that can also change in a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, whatever it is. So just permission with being okay with that firstly. And I think, you know, asking questions, I like doing the smaller practices, like the energy audits. What percentage of my week or day even is spent doing things that I genuinely love? Can you imagine? I think about our weeks that we're going to work and we're grinding and we're doing this. And if you add up all of those hours, like, it's crazy to me that in a day, we might only do something for 20 minutes that we really enjoy. Mm-hmm. What? Why are we doing
What's
that?
What's the point?
What is the point? I mean, you know, you look at other cultures as well and the way, you know, in Italy, they shut down in August for a month. Cal and I are actually talking about this right now. You and I were chatting about this the other day. I have had a practice for the last, I mean, maybe 5+ years where I take off a month every year, maybe even 2, depending on where I'm going, if I need a little bit more time because it's a, you know, massive time change difference, whatever. And I've always just communicated it to my clients. I am taking this time off to be a better version of myself for you and for the people in my life. And it's a non-negotiable. And I think to most, it's like, oh, you're taking a whole month off? Mm-hmm. Well, aren't you like, how's that? How are you going to get back into work? And how do your clients feel about that? Guys, your clients will still be there. Your friends will still love you. Do the thing for you because you will come back a more lit up version of yourself that everybody needs. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs. So those daily practices, being in nature, I feel like it's actually just simplifying life. I actually
Absolutely.
Think we overcomplicate everything with, you know, I got a gym this and I got a, this is the work that I need to do. This is the food I need to eat and this and this. I'm like, actually, let's just take a breath. Let's take a breath and let's be okay with, you know, stripping things back and actually just finding out what we really like. I think we have so many inputs.
Yes, so much noise.
So much noise all the time. It's really hard. I've shared this story a couple times, but I was living in New York for probably 5 or 6 years. I worked in corporate for a little bit, and then I started my own business in stretching and mobility, where I would work one-to-one with my clients. I would travel all over the city. I loved it. And then I just got to a place where I actually started listening to my body and my energy, and honestly, my soul was just craving something different. So I decided to leave, and I moved. I packed up my bag. I sold everything in my apartment. I went to Bali for a few months with absolutely no agenda. I had my flight there, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know exactly where I was going to stay. I did not know who I was going to meet. I did not have a retreat booked, nothing. I showed up with my backpack, and the first 7 days were really challenging because I still had that.
I like have heart palpitations as you're talking about it. I really just love that for you, but that gives me a heart attack.
100%. And I will say, I don't think that version of how extreme it was is for everyone.
Yeah.
I personally crave those environments.
But it changed you, too.
Changed me. And I think the key thing that I want to share is in those 7 days, it took me that long. And it probably would have taken me longer if I wasn't as introspective as I am. But it took me 7 days to realize that I was still so worked up by the cadence of New York, my lifestyle in New York, that I'd wake up in the morning and go, okay, what's the best coffee shop for me to go to? What environment should I be in? What's the best gym I should go to? Who should I talk to? Is there a retreat I should go to? And there was all of these shoulds, like what should I be doing to make the most of this experience? And when I like stripped it back, I realized that I was embarrassed at the idea of going home after a few months in Bali and not being a totally transformed, different person. You know, like it was the idea of, what if I went back and nothing happened? Would I be okay with that? I had to sit with that for a few days and it felt wildly uncomfortable. And then finally, something after the seventh day, I just said to myself, Nicole, if nothing happens this whole trip and you just relax in Bali for 2 months, that's okay. And I started to do this cool thing where I would wake up in the morning with no alarm and I would ask myself, what do you want to do right now? Not what do you want to do today? What do you want to do tonight? What do you want to do right now in this moment? And I would check in and say, do I want to go back to bed? Do I want to go for coffee? Do I want to go for a walk? Do I want to lay in the sun? Do I want to read? And I would kind of check in with all those and see which one felt the best in my body. And that's something we work on too in the Human Performance Program, is because there's so much noise, we sometimes lose our own personal cues of what we actually want to do because there's all of this noise on the outside. And so when I started asking myself that question, that response started to get stronger. And so I would actually wake up in the morning and I wouldn't even have to ask myself that anymore after like a month. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like doing this right now. And as soon as I let that go and gave myself permission, that whole trip unfolded in the most beautiful way. I started to run into lifetime friends, like friends that I now have for a lifetime. I was invited to a retreat, which then I met someone who then invited me to their retreat specifically that had no space in it, but made space for me. So I think when we just when we leave space for the magic of what life actually is, so much can happen for us. And I would love to know your thoughts on this as well. And Callan and I talk about this too, is how do we create more white space in our days? Mm-hmm. Because that's when we're able to be in our own energy, ask ourselves these questions, listen to our own like body cues and see what we want to do. Also be creative, be wildly creative and not so calculated and, you know, business oriented, which all of that is beautiful, but all of that is also backed in how well we know ourselves, our level of creativity, and I believe our connection to what's greater. I think that's where a lot of the magic is.
Yeah, I think that's been my number one thing the last 6 months of me challenging myself to create more white space, because I have all these big goals and all these projects and a million and one places to be. And I know Callan does too. And it's like, how can I just create the space right now, because it's not magically going to appear, you know? And so even 2 weeks ago, I went to my team. I was like, this is what you can talk to me about on Mondays. This is what you can talk to me about and schedule on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, you're not talking to me. Thursdays, I'll be back to talk about these things. And Fridays, you're also not going to talk to me, because I feel like sometimes when you're in a leadership position, everybody feels like they have permission to just come to you for everything. And there's no time to think about, like, what does Stephanie want? What does Stephanie want to create? What does Stephanie enjoy? You know, there's been lately, I've been so grateful, Kyle and I have been playing tennis more, because it's like, it's just something that we enjoy. We've been playing Trouble with Jet in the evenings. It's like, it's something that we enjoy. I want more of that. Just joy unattached to an outcome. A novel concept.
Such a novel concept. There's nothing you're working towards. It's actually just to be present and to be joyful with the people that you love.
Yeah. And that's the whole freaking point.
That is the whole point.
I love it. And I think too, there's this conversation is probably one, going to be a permission slip for people, and two, trigger people that have attached their entire identity to work and performance. And that's the whole point. That's why I wanted to have you on, because I know you've been such a beautiful mirror to not only myself, but other people that we know about, like, let's make sure we're connected with self in this whole process. And so thank you so much for being here. You were such a gift to my life and to Kyle's life and Jet's life, everybody's life. And I just am so grateful for you.
I love you, Steph. Thanks for having me.
If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.